Hey, this is Pastor John Ryan Cantu from Pneuma Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for listening to the message today. I hope that it blesses you and all those that you share it with. God bless you.
The body of Christ. I see y'all. I see y'all not able to go back to your seats because you found somebody that you just love and you want to keep that conversation going. Praise God for that. Hey, you can do that after church. Don't leave so quick, you know. But some of y'all don't ever leave. Like the young adults right here, they stay forever. And they're like, hey, Pastor, can we do a TikTok? And I'm like, man, I got to go to bed, man. Oh, man, God is good. I am, I feel good. I feel God is good, and he's been good, and he's going to continue being good. Yesterday, we had a great serve conference. If you were here, we got to pour into our leaders and our volunteers and everybody who is a servant of God. And I believe that the body of Christ was edified. And there's such a burning passion that I have behind this conference, because I do believe that the whole church is called to serving the Lord, right? We're not just called to be spectators. We all have a part to play, and that's what this conference is about. I know that December is a really hard time. The idea was to do it in December to prep for the following year, but what we're going to do probably next year is we're going to hold it off to January of 2027 when everything slows down, and hopefully we can have everybody participate. Amen. And I want to say this. I'm going to say this. I never say this because I'm just going to say it like y'all tell me. Some of y'all don't come to church if I don't preach. And shame on you, right? And I've told y'all. I think it's, you know, I get it. You know, you're used to what's familiar. But God spoke something beautiful yesterday through many of our speakers, and one of those speakers, she spoke for 12 minutes, and I was like, bro, I need to see if she can come next week. And so her name is Dulce Lopez. She's going to be with us next Sunday. She's going to bring a word, a powerful woman of God. And today, Pastor Damaris is going to be bringing the word, and praise the Lord. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to rest, praise God. I'm going to rest. I need a little bit of rest, and I believe that when I come back after, I'm still going to be at church, but when I come back behind the pulpit, God is going to have a fresh word for his people. Amen. How many of us celebrate rest? Amen. Don't forget to rest. Pastor Damaris, I know that God has given you a word, and I'm going to give you this platform. Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. I'm still a little under the weather, so I wasn't able to worship like I wanted to worship, because I was saving my voice, and Pastor Larry prayed for me when we were back there, so thank you for that. But I know that God is going to speak today, so I'm going to ask you to just bow your head. We're not going to stand yet. Spirit of the living God, move in this place. Spirit of the living God, we give you permission to do what you want to do in this place this morning. Lord, I remove myself from the equation, so it'll be your spirit who speaks this morning. So it'll be your spirit who brings transformation. So it'll be your spirit who brings renewal. So it'll be your spirit who brings healing over this house, over every heart, over every mind this morning. Spirit of the living God, I welcome you into this place. Do what only you can do. Do what only you can do this morning. In every heart, I come against any distraction from the enemy. I come against anything that does not align with your spirit in this place this morning. I bind it and I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Your word says that what we bind in here will be bind in heaven, and what we lose in earth, what we lose in heaven, we bind into destruction, and we lose your spirit over this house this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I am shaking. I've been shaking since service started. I really believe also that me being sick has something to do with the word. I thought I was getting better, and then I'm not contagious anymore. I haven't had any fever. I don't have COVID. I'm good. It's just some sinus thing. But this morning I woke up a little rougher than other days, so bear with me. But a couple of months ago, I had the privilege to preach for the Spanish service, and Pastor Ryan asked me if I could bring that same word for the English service. And although I will be using the same visual example, it's a totally different message that I'm bringing. I'm not being disobedient, Pastor. I'll bring that message another time. But I had to be obedient to what God wanted me to bring this morning. For those of you who are new, I was telling my husband, I think that we have a lot of new people that don't even know who I am. My name is Damaris Solis. Everybody calls me Pastor D. Brandon is my husband. And for all the young adults that are have joined recently, Pastor Oli is my sister. Because a lot of people didn't know. I've had a couple of people ask, what? She's your sister? Yeah, so I am cool by association, okay? Because she's my sister. But yeah, we've been in this church for over 15 years serving. We started serving under Pastor Juan Cantu and Pastor Annette, our spiritual parents, and we love them very much. So I'm more than a worshiper. I have roots here, and I'm not going anywhere until the Lord tells me it's time to go or Pastor kicks me out. Just kidding. But I'm happy to be here. But this preaching, the Lord gave it to me literally in 15 minutes. That's record time. Usually it takes me like a week to prepare for a message. And this was super, super fast. And it was first thing in the morning. The night before, I had gone to sleep with heaviness in my heart. And I remember going to bed praying, asking the Lord to remove it. I said, God, I don't want to feel this way anymore. Would you just remove it? And the morning when I woke up, I continued the middle of the night. It was like a dream, but it wasn't a dream. But I felt a hand doing this over my mind, like touching just my forehead. And when I woke up, that heaviness that I had been replaced with peace. I realized that the touch that I felt was almost as if God did a sort of mind and heart surgery while I was sleeping. But in my sleep, he touched the places I didn't even know were hurting. And he healed them. I woke up saying, the Samaritan woman, soul wounds. And he took me to the scripture that we'll be reading today, and he gave me this message. I want to tell you that sometimes God meets us quietly, gently, but powerfully. He restores what's hidden, he mends what's broken, and he leaves us whole and in his peace. Today, the Holy Spirit wants to do heart surgery in some of y'all. I believe if you allow him, he will bring to mind those wounds that have been hidden for a very long time. And although you're still functioning and you're still doing life and you're perhaps even serving, you have unhealed wounds. And today, if you let him, I believe that he can set you free. He can heal you and you will never be the same. Let's go to John verse 4. And I'm going to ask you to stand to read the word of God. And we are going to read a little bit. I was discussing with the Lord, do I just focus on the main parts of the verse, Lord, of the story? And we're all familiar with the story of the Samaritan woman. And he said, they'll be all right. We're going to do a little bit of reading. We're going to read 26 verses this morning. So bear with me. And I'll be reading out of the NIV version. Monday. No, actually, yes, that would help. Can you come up here, please? If he can read it for me, since it's a a long verse. Thank you, babe.
John 4, verse 1 to 26. Amen. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says, ask you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Sorry. He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that this place, the place where we must worship, is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That helped. Okay, so I've titled the message this morning "Soul Wounds" because that's the title the Lord gave me. But the well was the place of meeting, and that place where Jesus met this woman changed her life forever. We just read it. What I love about the story is that Jesus met her where she was. He went to where she was. His love for us is so great that he does that. He meets us right where we are. She didn't go looking for Jesus. He went to where she was. Verse 6 says, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. Why does it matter that it was about noon? Have you ever wondered that when you read it? Why does it say it was about noon? If it's there, it's important. But the Bible doesn't really say why, but the historical context gives us very clear clues, and many scholars agree on the fact that, one, she was avoiding people. In that culture, women drew water early in the morning or late in the evening when it was cool. So going at noon, the hottest part of the day, was unusual and almost meant as if she didn't want to encounter other women. She was going at the hottest part of the day. She didn't want to deal. You know, sometimes us women can be tough on each other. Number two, she didn't want to deal with judgmental looks or conversations. Or three, She carried shame and social rejection. So based on her history, she was likely treated with gossip, rejection, and social shame. So noon was a way to avoid the pain of community judgment. But Jesus met her at her lowest point. At the hottest hour, she was carrying the weight of her past. She was alone. And he broke every barrier, gender, culture, because Jews and Samaritans, we know that they did not interact with each other. Sin and shame, not only to reach her, but to restore her. She didn't just have an encounter. He healed her broken heart. And I truly believe that Jesus wants to do the same for some of you this morning. He wants to heal your broken heart. Like I said earlier, sometimes we're walking around with unhealed wounds. She was doing life, but she was broken. How do we know this? Because she had been with five men, and the one that she was with was not her husband. Why would someone do that if it's not because she was trying to find something that was missing in her life? To be with so many men and already with another one. She was finding almost a missing piece. The thing is that she had pushed it all so far down that she didn't even realize her brokenness. The wounds were so deep within the well of her heart. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about Freud's iceberg theory. And I have an image I want to show you. If you guys can put it up there. Okay. So Sigmund Freud compared the human mind to an iceberg. I want to, you know me and visuals. Where only a small part is visible above the water and the rest is hidden beneath. So this model describes how our thoughts, emotions, and motivations work. Pastor Melissa, you know all about this, right? The part above water is number one, right? That's your conscious mind. This is the 10% that you can see. What you are aware of right now. It includes your thoughts or your current awareness, your perceptions, and your immediate decision-making. For example, right now we know we're at church. So that's above the water. The number two is your preconscious or subconscious mind. It's just below the surface. It says memory, stored knowledge, preconscious. Okay. This is the part right under the water. Memories or thoughts you're not thinking about now, but you can easily access them, right? It includes memories, stored knowledge, and thoughts you can put when needed. For example, the house that you grew up in. Like, you know, you don't need it every day, but you can go and pull that out and you remember it. And number three is your unconscious mind. That's the deep underwater. That's the biggest part. That's the biggest part of the iceberg. Freud believed the most of who we are lives there, in the part that's underwater. It contains our hidden wishes, our fears, our deep emotions, our trauma, our repressed memories, our instincts, and our unresolved conflicts. And these things quietly influence your behavior even when you don't even realize it. Example would be someone who fears rejection and they avoid relationships without even knowing why. So in simple terms, what you see is small, what you don't see is powerful. What are you hiding deep within the well of your heart this morning? What have you pushed down so far deep that you forgot about it, or you try to forget about it because you pushed it in so deep? We can go back to the regular. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, out of the CEV version, I like that version. It says, I pray that God, who gives peace, will make you completely holy. And may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. We are spirit, we are body, and we are soul. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. So this verse tells us that God is concerned with all three things. He's concerned with your spirit, he's concerned with your soul, and he's concerned with your body. The word completely in the verse comes from the Greek word olokeros, which means whole, complete, entire, or perfect. Sadly, church, sometimes we come to church and we have an encounter with God, but we find ourselves still reacting a certain way in certain situations. And no matter how hard we try, we still end up in the same place. We haven't healed. Ping, if you drop a pin, you can hear it. I'm sorry. Some of the wounds we carry were caused by traumatic experiences, abuse, rejection, a loss, even the lack of love and validation in critical moments of our lives. One of the things that I've learned lately from Pastor Maggie is that sometimes you're even born already with rejection because your parents didn't want you. And since little, there are issues. And that's because you're already born with rejection. And the enemy takes advantage of those things that we don't deal with to keep us there. When those wounds aren't healed, they become empty spaces that affect our identity, our relationship with God, our interaction with others, and an opportunity for the enemy to gain ground. See, a trauma is not only a painful memory, but also a wound that penetrates the depth of our soul, and it affects our emotions, our thoughts, and our life perception. This is why those wounds need healing, so that we may experience total freedom and the fulfillment that God wants for our lives. Let me tell you something. Deliverance and healing go hand in hand. I want to show you an example. I don't know who's going to do it. A little Brandon, can you come, please? Well, my sister calls him medium Brandon because he's not little Brandon anymore. No, right, you can stay right there. Yes, you can put it right there. Thank you. I want you to put on the backpack, please, B. It's heavy. We're going to deal with the stuff from the backpack. I want you to carry the weights, please. Look at him. Pobrecito, he had knee surgery, and I'm having him over here doing all this weird stuff. But he's already clear. He was cleared, okay? Yes, amen. Okay, so now let me tell you, sometimes we come to church like that. We come in bondage. If you try to raise your hands to worship God, could you? Probably. Could you? All the way up? There you go. Eventually, though, eventually it would get heavy. He wouldn't be able to. He said that's why he put it down so quick. He just wanted to show you guys that he could do it. That's right. But sometimes we come to church in bondage and with a whole bunch of luggage carrying in our backpack. And we come and we have an encounter with the Lord. And we say yes to Jesus. And we are delivered from the bondage. Now let go of the weight, please. Now, lift up your hands and worship. It's a whole lot easier, isn't it? He does not have the weight. He's not carrying the heaviness anymore. Now I want you to walk around for a little bit. Go ahead. Go walk around. Say hi to, God bless you, to a couple of people. Look at him. God bless you. No problem, right? What was keeping him in bondage, it's no longer there. He let go of it. It's gone. So he's coming, he's going, he sits down, he hears the word of God, We come, we worship. We come, we have encounters. We had night of worship. Lift up your hands. Praise the Lord. The presence of God was here. We come. And he's doing life. He can probably go out there and help in the parking lot. He can probably help with chairs, whatever needs to be done, right? Because it looks normal. It looks that he's okay. He's walking perfectly fine. But I'm going to ask him how he feels right now when he gets back over here. It has to be tiring. Are you tired? A little bit. A little bit. Thank you, Dad. What God wants to do this morning, I want you to see. He wants you to lay your wounds at the altar. What is it? Is it fear? Lay it at the altar. Is it rejection? Lay it at the altar. Is it anxiety? Lay it at the altar. Is it loneliness? Lay it at the altar. Is it lust? Lay it at the altar. Is it depression? Lay it at the altar. One for the woman, worry. Lay it at the altar. Women tend to worry a lot. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, you put the name on it. Go ahead. You put the name on it. Yeah. The Lord wants you to lay it at the altar this morning. He doesn't want you to continue to do life the same. A person can be delivered, but if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the specific areas in our soul that need healing, we leave ourselves open for the enemy to come back even stronger. Can I have some Kleenex, please? Matthew 12:43-45 says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept, clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with the wicked generation. When you lay it at the altar, you have to replace it with something. It has to be replaced with the Word of God. It has to be replaced with intimacy with the Lord. It has to be replaced with what God has for you. You can go back to your same old self. You can continue to come to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and go back and continue to do the same things that you've been doing, because you will end up worse. And the Lord wants to set you free, and he wants to set you free once and for all. But confession is needed. Why? Jesus offered the living water to the Samaritan woman, right? So at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, but it doesn't stop there. What do you mean? Let me tell you. Verse 15 says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. If you give me of this water, the shame, rejection, it kind of lost up here. I'm thinking that's what she was thinking. Okay, give it to me. Because I'm tired of coming at noon. I'm tired of coming in the daytime when it's really hot. I'm tired of hiding it. I'm tired of feeling that. Let me see. Give it to me. But then he told her what? Go call your husband and come back. Her answer was, I have no husband. That's a confession. Jesus knew. He knew. But she needed to confess with her lips, I have no husband. She had to say it. So Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have, you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. So it's as if Jesus was kind of saying, let's expose it. Bring it out. Bring it out. Say it. Confession is needed. The Holy Spirit will not reveal the areas we need healing from if we don't confess it, if we don't allow him to point out the wounds that need healing. Confession is needing, and also willingness. You have to want to be set free. You have to want to not go home and feel the same way. You have to want to not continue to deal with the sin that you've been dealing with for far too long. He wants your past. He wants your present in order to change your future. Verse 39, which we didn't read it, but it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Listen, your healed wounds will testify of the greatness and the goodness of God. Your healing wounds will be a testimony. Many of you are generational changers, and the enemy has been taking advantage of your unhealed wounds to keep you stuck. I know that the Holy Spirit is already recalling what you've been hiding for way too long. I know it. I know that it's already coming to your mind. Two things need to happen today. You need to confess. You need to surrender. I believe that the enemy is being exposed. He has been being exposed for the past few weeks. And the power of Jesus and the living water are here today to heal your soul wounds once and for all. See, the thing with water is you can drink it. Right now I can have a sip of water, but that's not going to sustain me forever. You have to continually drink water. You have to keep the relationship with the Holy Spirit. You have to continue drinking of the living water. You have to keep communion with God. You have to keep communion with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. And that's the thing, that we're just coming and having encounters and having a drink, and the Lord is telling you, stop. Confess it. Drop it. Repent. Leave it at the altar. God is calling us for more. God is calling Numa for more. It hurts. Trust me. The process hurts. But God knows what he's doing. We just have to trust him. We just have to trust him. Can I ask the worship team to come up? I knew that this morning I was not going to preach long, because I truly believe that the Lord wants to heal people at the altars this morning. Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He heals the brokenhearted. I want you to take four things. One, he meets you where you are. Two, confession is needed. Three, willingness is needed. Four, the empty space must be occupied with the truth of the word of God and who he says you are. I know that some of you are tired of coming week after week and have encounters with God in his presence. But today God wants you to surrender it by name. By name. Not don't come to the altars and say, I surrender. What are you surrendering? It's like when we tell our children, well, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Right? Sometimes our husband can do that. Oh, babe, I'm sorry. For what? Oh, because I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Acknowledgement. Name it. What are you surrendering? God wants us to confess, and he wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to be the healing ointment that allows us to walk in the purpose God has for you. Surrender it by name. Renounce to all the wounds that have taken over and are just so heavy for you to carry. This message is meant to bring awareness. Don't avoid it anymore. Listen, I know this was from God. I know this is from God. I know this is not a feel-good word, but I do believe that if we don't heal and we don't surrender, we're giving more ammo to the enemy. And I have decided, I, Damaris, have decided I will not give the enemy ammo to keep me where he wants to keep me. I have decided to go through the process. It's hard. It hurts. But I want the more of God. I want the more of God. I want what he has for this house. And the Holy Spirit keeps giving us word of how the enemy has infiltrated. Now he's going to. Listen. Not he's going to. He has infiltrated already in this house. And I refuse to not put up a fight. I refuse to just stand here and let him do what he wants to do. Not today, not in this house, not in my life. Some of you are dealing with unforgiveness. Release it. Forgiveness does not excuse a wound, but it does release its grip. Some are dealing with things that happened so long ago that you buried it so deep within the wall of your heart. And it will take intentionality to expose it to the light and be healed in Jesus' name. Some of you are walking around angry, anxious, emotionally numb, depressed. You're dealing with fear of failure. You're dealing with control issues, with regret, with self-sabotage, with your rejection. And the list can go on and on. But Jesus is in the room and he's ready to do some heart surgery. He's ready to break some chains so that you can begin to walk in the freedom that he paid a price for you to receive. He's ready. Are you ready? Let it go. Let it go. It's not worth it. Let it go. Ask the Holy Spirit right now where you are. Bring it to my memory. Holy Spirit, search within the depth of my well. Expose it all out. I don't want to walk like this anymore. I don't want to carry it anymore. It's become too much. And yes, I'm coming. And yes, I'm worshiping. And yes, I'm doing. But you have not released it. Can I ask you to stand? And can I ask for the intercessors of the house to come to the front? And I'm going to ask the pastors as well to come to the front. Listen, these are some bold words, but I'm not scared of the enemy. I'm not scared because I refuse to let him continue to do what he's trying to do and what he's trying to destroy in this home. I speak unity all over this home. I speak healing all over this home. Release it. And this morning I'm going to ask you to come. Don't listen. The enemy will tell you nah, this is not for you, bro. It is for you. No, you don't need healing. No, you don't need to confess it. Yes, you do. Can we start coming to the altars? And say it by name. Unforgiveness. Fear. Anger. Anxiety.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like some more information on Pneuma Church, visit us on our website at mynumachurch.org. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe or share it with your friends on social media and tag us at My Pneuma Church. Thanks again, and God bless.